kind of put a bow on what we had last week so we can catch up. Remember last week we talked, last month, it wasn't a week, it seemed like a week, last month about being fruitful versus being successful. Remember in the way that trees are, if trees are big and they're strong, but they don't bear any fruit, they're successful in the family of trees, but they're not fruitful. And so we are going to be a church that's fruitful and not necessarily successful. Does that make sense? In the world, in the eyes of the world. And so I want to talk tonight and next month. There's two things that we want to drill down on a little bit. We want to talk about, and there is these are things that we're going to live out as a church, that we're going to live out as leaders, that we're going to live out as youth workers, we're going to live out as leaders, and we're going to disciple. And part of discipling is there's two things that go on in discipling. One is the invitation. And I'm going to start there. You have invitation and invitation and challenge. You need both of those together. If you are just inviting and you have no challenge, it gets lopsided. If you are as an individual, if you're constantly inviting but you're not challenging the people that you're inviting, then you get out of balance. And so, also that fits with us as a church. And so, actually, did you put it up there already? There's a graph grid, and I'm probably in the way of all of you, so I'm going to step back a little bit. Whoa. Hey. So I'm going to, can you guys see that? Or do we need to turn the light a little bit so you can see it? Off. You guys see that back there? Is that a little bit better?
Okay, one more. Tell me if this is better or worse. Better or worse?
The optometrist. I dislike that because I'm like, is there another option? The same. And so these, in invitation is the relationship that we talked about in the blessed strategy. It's starting a relationship or having a relationship. And so it's on the right-hand side. It's the come. We're inviting people to come to church. We're inviting people into our lives. We're inviting people into our e-groups. We're inviting people into an intentional act. And so then the other thing is the challenge. Is the hardest part, which is on the left-hand side. It's the go. When Jesus said, what did he say to the disciples? Go make disciples. He didn't say, sit on your couch and hopefully they show up on Netflix. No, he said, go. And so that's the hardest part of that is we can invite, and some people that invite could be hard, but I think the hardest part is the go. When God says is to go or be intentional, that can be a little harder. And so we're going to, as we walk around this grid, the empowered, which is the right grid up here, is the empowered, it's the disciplined culture like Jesus. That's if you're doing discipleship, and if you're making disciples, and you're making disciple makers, and you're doing it with the come, and your invitation and challenge, that's the perfect right up here. Because you're high up here. Challenge for this quadrant. Does that make sense? And so then the part is when we get out of balance is we go to the other sides of the grid. And the empowered one is this. This is what Jesus did. It was high invitation to a relationship with him, high challenge to responsibility of not just the church, but God's kingdom as a whole. Because we're in God's kingdom, right? Elements is just a small C church compared to God's kingdom as a whole. And so as we progress as a church or an individual, these both apply to an individual or to you as us as a church. So you can take it both ways. And so if we have the cozy, which is the left-hand side, it's not a lot of challenge going on. It's low on challenge, but it's high on invite. Right? It's providing services and resources, lots of support, meeting steady diet of needs, but never calling them to follow the king. No accountability. There's basketball, and I'm making me, I can't see that. Fear of them leaving and when they're uncomfortable. And so when we're cozy, when churches are cozy, they don't want to be challenged. And as leaders and as staff, we don't want to challenge because we're afraid that if we do challenge, they'll leave. So we just want everyone to be cozy. So we high in invite, but we're low on challenge. And so that is the cozy. We're more worried about comfort than anything else. We stay babies in Christ, and we never mature past that. And then on the bottom, it's bored and apathetic. If it's low on both accounts, and churches and people can be bored and apathetic. Everything is put on for you. If you win people with gimmicks, you have to keep them with gimmicks. Great bands, great communicator, but no challenge to a life worth imitating. Bored and apathetic is a low challenge, low invitation. It's Disneyland. Entertainment. Don't invite them into a relationship or challenge them. It's just, these are good things that are happening, and we're just going to do it for them. So they're just going to come on a Sunday, and we're not going to challenge them with anything. And then this other category, stressed and discouraged, is a high challenge, low invitation. This is the type A's, the legalism. This is where all the task is. This stress and discouraged is, these are all these things that we have to do, but we're not really worrying about the invite. We're just worrying about these tasks, and we have to get these things done because that's what we have to do. It's less about a relationship with the Savior. It's more about what can we accomplish and can we finish our to-dos. With that said, any questions on the quadrant itself? Because you're going to have a little self-discussion around your table and put elements in one of these four categories.
That's why I gave you dessert first.
So which one is elements in this grid? So you're going to put it as a discuss in your table, get to know, come to consensus, and think, hey, where does the majority of people think we are at your table? Not where we want to be, but where we are. You have 4.5 minutes. Go. All right. You guys ready? I just need a couple tables just to kind of come up here and just point to where you think we are on where your discussion took us, or where your thoughts as a table. So one from the left side and one from the right side. Who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? I can just appoint someone.
Go, Karen, go. Go, Karen, go.
You have to get up and point, Karen.
So my name is Karen, for those of you who don't know me. Woohoo! Hi. So it was a little tough. We had to ask whether or not this was elements as a whole or specific things about elements and in which category we would need to put it in. And so we were having a difficult time just pinpointing, but we definitely said that we weren't in this area, that we're more in the cozy stage in some of our groups and with some of the activities that we do. But there are like some of our service projects where we are empowered and we do have a discipling culture. I think that collectively we also thought that we're getting from cozy, a cozy place, into a place of empowered discipleship. And so, but we're not like purely there yet.
Somebody from the right side. Really, Margo? I need someone from the right side. My right. It's all about from my perspective. I need someone. Uh-oh, here comes Marcus.
So she basically nailed it, everything that we were kind of thinking. Some of the things that we're very strong in is the outreach with the food distribution, with the Feed Generosity, Generosity Feeds, whichever one that was. The stuff that we do as a community with the church, meaning that we go out and we have the day where all the volunteers get to get together on the picnic. Some of the things was brought up is like there are some children that sit in, and when they come in, people sometimes are a little nervous to engage the desk right when you walk in. So they're just going to walk by. So there's some things that we could figure out, but we kind of said the same thing, that we were kind of like a little bit of a hybrid moving that way. So in our opinion at our table that we're getting in the right direction for sure. Cool. And Brian Lambert, go ahead.
So for the most part, we don't need to spend a lot of time, but I think I just wanted to get you guys to be thinking globally of where we are as a church, and be thinking of, you know, because you guys all have different responsibilities and different perspectives. And so can we say, as a for sake of here, in agreement that we're basically where Karen and Mark said we are, can we be in agreement that there's some variant of that? Okay. So now, if... Stressed and discouraged. Okay.
And the reason why is because sometimes we can run very lean on consistent volunteers. And sometimes it's the same group of volunteers that are over and over and over again. And so we spend a lot of time communicating and really encouraging the food distribution and that sort of thing, but not about really making a Sunday happen.
Gotcha. And what a great segue that is. Because... for you to get, most people just want to move from the cozy straight to the empowered. But we're talking about discipleship here. We're not talking about structural operations and that kind of stuff. So everything that we do deals with people. And if we're discipling people, it doesn't just go from cozy to now they're disciple. There's a small little J hook that happens. So
wouldn't it be nice if we just were here cozy? We're like, yeah, we made a decision, and now we want to move to empowered. It doesn't happen like that. What happens mostly in this, and you can see studies, you go from cozy, and it dips down, and then comes back up. Because if you're changing a culture, if you're changing the way people think, the way they've been living, and you're taking them out of a cozy, do people like being uncomfortable? If we took a survey and all this in here, we like to be comfortable. We live in the U.S. That's kind of our thing. So there will be a stressed, discouraged thing here, organizationally and individually. This represents us as individuals and us as a organization. And so if you're comfortable and cozy where you are, and you're being challenged now to be a disciple maker, you're going to go through some stress and discouragement because life is different than when you had it up here. And so I would venture to say we are in cozy, moving out of that, but we're going to hit some apathetic and some bored and some stressed out and discouraged till we get to here, because we're dealing with people, we're discipling people, and we're getting them into a relationship with Jesus in a deeper way. I don't know about your relationship with Jesus. Sometimes is a little discouraged and a little stressed out. And so that's what I want you guys to think of, is as individuals, we have to figure out where we are. And this also tells us where what we need to do as an organization is, it's okay. But as long as we end up working for and moving to be empowered and being and making disciples for Jesus. Does that make sense? So yes. You're absolutely correct. Is we are going to stress. We are going to move. The volunteers will go away. There's a possibility that we go into making disciples and we shrink.
You're stressing me out.
Half the people said, oh, that's too clear on what, I don't want to be anything a part of that. That's not comfortable. I'm out. And we've got to be okay with that, because we know there's a possible dip there, but we want to be like Jesus. We want to make disciples, and we want to disciple people so that we can have those conversations of the ladies at Propel, or the people at work, or the guys that are struggling with their marriages, that now that they're having Ryan talk to them, and we get to expose them to Jesus That's a lot of this before we get to here.
And so we've chosen two ways here at Elements to kind of help that movement, help the discipleship. One is huddles. We talked about that last time, and we also talked about e-groups. And so,
sorry, I'm a little nervous.
I don't know what she's doing.
I don't know how to get it on the screen.
Because it has to go in ProPresenter. You can't just open it up. So.
Why am I here?
I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing. John, here comes John. He'll save you. And so John's putting a graphic up of the, we talked about three things last time. We talked about Go communities, which Go communities are made up of multiple e-groups going together to do a reoccurring intentional activity to eliminate something in an area. So if three e-groups got together or two e-groups got together to do an ongoing service project in a neighborhood, that would be a Go community. We clear on that one? The other one is the huddle. And the other one is the e-groups, and they're still not there. So I thought my timing was to be good on that, but it's all right. It's okay. It's all right. So we have it in a triangle, and if you guys had it last time, if you guys need to see any of this stuff that we're talking about tonight, it's on our app under resources. That's going to be there, so you can do it if you can get signal down here. Also, inside the hub where you have your profile, where you give and all that kind of stuff, there is this group. It's called the Own It Group. Has all the paperwork that we have and all the videos and stuff that you have. So if you want to catch up or hear it again. So Kimberly's going to come talk about huddles and e-groups and kind of what they are and how they differentiate and why they're purposeful for what we are doing to move us through that. Oh, there's my goals. Sweet. Those are my goals. You guys can hold me accountable to that.
Okay. Sorry. I have no idea. Oh, I have no idea why I am anywhere near the computer because it. I'm a little challenged in that area. So cool. Yay. These are the types of group that he was just talking about, and I'm going to differentiate between the huddles and the e-groups. So if some of you are going, well, what are the difference? And I want to clarify, and I want to give a couple of tools. So which one do you guys want to start with? Huddle. Wow, you guys are emphatic about that. Okay, so it's really important that we all have the same language, that we understand what a huddle is and what a huddle is not. A huddle is... It is more intense than an e-group. It is not brand new or non-Christians. You're normally not going to do a huddle without there. You're going to already assume a basis, a foundation of who Jesus is. So the invitation, a huddle is high invitation, high challenge. We're invited, you know, Jesus invited us into relationship with him, and he challenged us with the responsibility. So a huddle is both of those things. An e-group is high invite, moving towards the challenge after a journey. The huddle starts there. So that's a really big differentiation. A lot of people talk about the one-on-one. So we prefer the groups be 3, 2, 3, 4, 5, no bigger than 5, because sometimes, you know, I know that Josh and Steven are doing one. They've got a very intense schedule, so they're going to do one with just the two of them. But we're not talking about one-on-one mentoring. If you look at that, we're trying to do the example of Jesus. He didn't do a lot of one-on-one, if you really look at that. And not that it's bad, but... sometimes it's easier to go a little bit sideways when it's just the one-on-one. So we really want to encourage a huddle to be 3 to 5 people. So hopefully that makes sense. Jesus trained his disciples to be disciple makers. So just like doctors have residents, that was for you, Stephen, over there. Electricians have apprentices. Jedis have Padawans. Nope, I was like, I hope I said that right. Paul had Timothy. The huddle is our vehicle, it's our pathway to train other coaches, to train other disciple makers. That's what I want to make sure we're understanding what the huddle is that it's 3 to 5 people, leader, I don't like the word leaders because everybody takes leaders in a different way. It's 3 to 5 people that are on mission, that love Jesus, and they're in kind of the same stage of spiritual development, and you're gathering together for something a little bit deeper than a brand new e-group that's starting, which is more high invitation. So it's different because the attendance from an e-group, again, is we want anybody. A huddle is you're going to be specific to people that where you're in kind of the same stage and you can the same schedule. You know, Josh and Steven, they have a lot of the similar schedule. It fits. You got to have some of it be a little bit organic. You can't be like, well, Ryan can't be in an e-group with somebody who works days, he works nights, and they have it's family. It would be really hard. He is with people that are actually in the same life rhythm, life schedule they're at. So for Alexa and Sarah, they're both right now stay-at-home moms, so it works for them. So make sure that we're keeping that in mind too. The other difference is it's not primarily pastoral in nature. So you're not just getting together and saying, I want to share about my, you know, sick Aunt Em or, you know, my dog. It's not that those aren't important, but you're not there for pastoral. It's not just an exchange of information. E-groups is, hey, here's the invite, and we're talking a lot about, you know, what on earth are we here for? Why do we need Jesus? What is Jesus all about? What is the Bible? It's a lot of information and relationship. The huddle is more of, all right, this is what we know, this is what we're going to learn, and this is how we're going to lead it. This is how we're living it and leading it. So it has to be that you want to live out. So the changes. We're going to learn that in e-groups, and you're going to learn it differently in a huddle. In e-groups, you're going to spend 6 weeks going over it. In a huddle, it's 1 week to refresh yourself, 2 weeks the second week to talk about it and figure out how it fits into your life and how you can explain it. And then the next time is, how can you live it and lead somebody else through it? So that, I don't know why this keeps going down. I'm all, thanks, Anya. I just need a personal assistant, I think. That's me. Not on my teacher salary. So that's kind of the difference. Also, a huddle is not primarily a social event. E-groups, they should be very social. You maybe have dinner, you're going to go out for ice cream, you're going to be hanging out. Although you're going to do social things at huddle, especially the longer that you are together and you're with each other. But that's not the primary reason you're together. So it's not always an exchange of information, and it's not just social. Is there any questions with that? That was crystal clear. Brian Lambert's like, yeah. No, back there, it's not. What's your question? Let's go. So I get what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. But remember, it's not about rules. It's more about target. So these are guidelines, they're boundaries to kind of just differentiate. Yes, there's going to be some traveling, is Stephen and Josh, is that a huddle or an e-group? Well, it's going to be a huddle. They've both been Christians for almost all their life. They're pretty grounded in Jesus, so they don't need an exchange of just more information. They're going to be journeying with each other and really talking about how they're going to live out and lead others and make other disciples, other trees, other fruitful stuff. Now, do you do that in e-groups? Yeah, but the intentionality is a tiny bit different. Yeah. Right. So no, that's a great question. She said, what's the time frame? An e-group should run 18 months to 3 years. That you're kind of journeying, you're like, without a break? No, guys. I mean, some people take breaks for the summer, but you're taking them through a pathway, a journeying. Hey, what on earth am I here for? This is what, and we're going to go into e-groups a little more next time. What is Jesus about? What is the Bible about? You're actually teaching people foundational stuff. So that's how long we're trying to model as close as we can to Jesus. Some e-groups last a little bit longer. We become a little more dysfunctional. So don't take my example on that. So the longer you're together, the more it sometimes can be a little too exclusive. So just keep that in mind. A huddle is not necessarily an 18 to 3-year journey. There, it's what we have planned right now is 52 weeks. It's 1 year. So that would be the difference in the time frame. Right now, I only have 32 weeks done. So, yeah. So I'm hoping that my really hot husband will come and try to mirror the screen so I can show you the curriculum. Sorry. So yesterday we went out to eat. We went out to eat with the Bertrams, and Brian said, I really want to get the turkey. And I said, no, let's get the sampler plate. He's like, red meat has really not been doing well. And I said, oh, it's a sampler. You're just getting small samples. You'll be fine. So we ate that together last night, and he's been sick all day. So I'm feeling a tad bit guilty. It's actually Mark's fault because he said it was going to be good. But anyway, so every time he's been not feeling well. Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Any other questions?
You need the plug, Margot. The screen.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So Anya asked the question, she meets with two girls separately and it's not technically a huddle. Remember, we're not going to get pigeonholed into just these two things. If you're doing that, like she just got baptized the last time we had a baptism, what you're doing is not wrong. It's just that this is where we're. Oh, there we go. This is where what we're trying to make it look like. So it's not that what you're doing is wrong or you have to actually change that right now. Right now, that's working for the girls that you have. You can't be like, oh my gosh, this is not what we're doing in Element, so we got to have to come together. So just know that we're trying to give a framework, guidelines to go from here. So to get from a cozy church to an empowered church. So again, Josh and Steven, are we going to call them a huddle? Yes. Even if there's just two, they're still going to be called a huddle. But we're telling you the optimum, what we're shooting for. Okay, so this is, and we're going to go, he's going to go down a little bit. Keep it going. This will explain later. This is all, there's the types of groups. What I'm about ready to share, okay, yeah, right here. What I'm right here is this is the discipleship, an e-group process, an outline. It's a lot of information. My master's degree is in curriculum and design. So some of you, please don't get discouraged if you're going, oh my gosh, what is she talking about? That's why we're learning this together. Remember, this is our first run through. It's going to need tweaks. It's going to need some feedback. And you could say, oh my gosh, Kimberly, that bombed, or we loved this. So please just know that's where I'm at. So right now, the first stage, I took this off of Bill Hybels' Reveal, the Reveal study, that there's four stages of knowing Christ. And let's say it's a brand new Christian or a non-Christian. So they're all into the exploring Christ. Literally, I've taken it, I got to do this. I've taken it down for like weeks 1 and 2. The topic of study, the description, and the resources. Then you serve together. You invite them to the food distribution and you come together, and these are the resources you need. We have a flyer that goes to that, or the app or the event page. Then we go to weeks 3 and 4. What on earth am I here for? And it tells you this description and the resources that you're gonna need for that. That obviously lasts 5 weeks. This goes week by week. Does it mean you have to follow it exactly? No, you guys, this is to say, if someone were to say, tomorrow, I want to start an e-group, I don't know what to do, I can say, hey, I've got an outline for you to kind of lead you through the next year and a half. It doesn't mean we're married to this. It means that this is a guide so that we can get the targets. Our targets, change mind, change heart, change relationships, change community, change purpose. We're trying to design curriculum and studies that hits that stuff. So let me go down a little bit more. Right here, week 8, fun night, dinner out, potluck, movie, bowling. What if it doesn't? Some of you are type A personalities. We're like, oh my gosh, it's week 8 and we didn't hit that. That's okay. This could be week 6. It could be week 10. Get crazy. This is just a suggestion. You don't have to hit week 8 and be like, it's week 8, it's fun night, or we failed. So, and then we're going down to the life changes. And then if you keep going down, I'll find something right here. Another serve experience as an e-group. Do this together. Do something at the church. Say, hey, this week, the e-group, we are going to do the guest services. We're going to be all the welcoming. And we're going to do it as a group. You're teaching them as a group how to read the Bible, how to serve, how to get involved. That's what this does. And if you keep going down, there's another fun night. Keep going. This is prayer experience. A lot of this, I want to tell you, came out of where Brian and I have failed. Brian and I missed the marks in some of our e-groups. Our Monday night group, no offense, because a lot of them are in here, it's a dysfunctional little family. And some of it, we missed getting into the Word. We missed really missed teaching them prayer, fasting. We did all that stuff. We opened the Bible, but we weren't as intentional as we needed to be.
Honestly, yeah.
Right, Jen's, we're helping Jen do that. So a prayer experience. This is something that we're creating that we're gonna get together, and we're gonna fast the night before, and then we're gonna get together and we're gonna pray and pray over the names of God and pray just more and tapping into the Holy Spirit, and then break the fast together. We want to do this as a church. We want to do this not just in e-groups, but we want to be a church that is not cutting off the Holy Spirit, but that is unleashing the Holy Spirit. And so that's kind of what Brian and I have been. So this is, again, so huddle. This is e-groups. I also have something like this for huddles, he's working on it. So the difference for huddles, it's. And if you were to say, what's the main thing you would want somebody to get from an e-group? How to read their Bible. I've been leading small groups for 23 years. I started at Emmanuel in the building over there upstairs leading youth 23 years ago. I have strayed away from tackling the Bible as deep as we should. Number one thing, if you were to get nothing out of this, it would be get them in the Bible. They don't need your opinions. They need what Jesus says. So that's what, it's coming. So the difference, again, from a small group, it's a little more intentionally with commitment, accountability, and multiplication. Do e-groups do all of that? Yes. But the you let people know up front. You're committed. If you say we're going to meet, we're going to meet. We're going to be accountable. We're going to be in each other's lives, and we're going to multiply. After a year, we're not staying here. So any other questions with that? Sorry, that's just what, this is like a how-to that's also going to be available. Yeah, it's already there. Yes, Jack. Did you guys hear Jack? Just Jack in the corner. Okay, so this is the curriculum that is 31 weeks. That's the huddles. Week one, intro to huddles, handout, what you're supposed to do beforehand. You'll see that it's a little bit different. Week two, you know, who we are, it's just, and then, you know, prayer, acts, so, and what you're supposed to do beforehand, and then lead. Have other people lead prayer as time goes on using this model. There's specific leadership opportunities within the curriculum. Again, Brian Lambert, do you have to follow this exactly? No. So those of you who are like, this is too much, remember, it's an outline or a guide to help to see. So does that mean what Ryan is doing, he doesn't have this stuff in front of him? That means he's not doing it right. No. Yeah, start over. You tell them, oh my gosh, okay? So, elements, yeah. Boundaries, right, boundaries. We need boundaries or we go off the rails. We don't want to be a church that goes off the rails. So, no, and when you go, and you can just go down. So it's just, again, please don't get overwhelmed. Brian looked at this and said, oh, honey, that's good. That's a lot. Remember, we're going to unpack this as a church, and we need feedback of what works and what doesn't work. Some of it will be group to group, and we'll go into this a little bit more. We just wanted to make it available. This is like a 101 class. So week 30, we only have 31 weeks right now. It's summer, Kimberly, so I'll have more time. Bottom line, a huddle works because huddle leaders do the same thing as Jesus. They give people in their huddle access to their lives, but also to challenge them in their identity in Christ. Yes. Yeah. Right. Did you guys hear that question? You're in week 15, but you want to add somebody to your huddle. What do you do? It all depends. Sometime you're going to have to use your discernment and be patient and not add them. What if their personality completely changed your huddle and it wasn't in a good way? Or when you pray about it, God say, no, this is okay. This person is, you know, do they have to catch up the last 15 weeks? Do you have to redo it? No. You're just going to pick up where you're at and go. But it's going to be you're discerning and you're praying about what you feel like God wants you to do. Sometimes you have to say no. I'm not actually very good at this. So I'm like, oh, yes, they could stay for 5 years. It's fine. I'm not actually good at this. So anything? So that's kind of what where I'm at. If you have any questions, email me. We'll talk about it. I don't mind meeting with you. Again, I have the summer off, and so I'm a little more accessible right now. So.
Cool. So that could be a lot of fire hose, or you may not understand what that's all about, because some of you may not be in e-groups right now, or you may, you're like, well, the huddle, that could fit me better than an e-group or vice versa. So my challenge, going back to the relationship, we can't stay cozy, but we have to have challenge, is to really think about you. Are you ready to facilitate a huddle, or are you ready to facilitate an e-group to help us move from the cozy spot that we said we were in to moving us to the, so we're making disciple makers for Jesus? And so that comes with prayer. That doesn't come with just making a decision. That comes with prayer. And because we're taking more responsibility in with escorting people to Jesus, and that comes with a cost. And I would not be okay with myself not telling you that it comes with a cost. Just like Jack has been talking about the battle lines. When we clarify our relationship with Jesus, and we move people and spend time with people, getting them out of the darkness and moving them closer to Jesus, there is a cost that comes. It is well worth it.
Amen.
It is well worth it. But it is a cost. And so I want you to pray over the next month, and we will talk about e-groups in more detail about what that looks like, the training of that. And then we will go into the fall in August with a plan to facilitate huddles and e-groups like we've never done before. We're going to be intentional. We're going to go after. We're going to bless people, and we're going to meet them where they are. We're going to pray for them. We're going to listen. We're going to feed them, and we are going to show them Jesus with everything that we are. And we are going to look back years from now, and in these moments this summer when we've heard about this and we've literally flipped the switch and said, you know what, I want to live intentionally for Jesus, we're going to look back at these moments as some very sweet moments because we've moved to engagement with people and with showing them Jesus. The last thing I'd like to do, because I want to honor your time, is I would love for you to do prayers around your table. Prayer, I'm going to invite you this Wednesday night. We are going to pray at 6:30. Here we did one last month, and the feedback that I got, Anya led that, and I think Alexa and Josie are leading this next week. It was a total awesome display of the Holy Spirit. Just coming through, praying for our church, praying for people, praying for us as individuals. And there was people that were there that were totally, totally touched because they'd never been in an experience like that. And so, and I'm just going to, on the lighter side, I went in real serious right there. If we can keep Mark Bertram's attention for an hour in prayer, then the Holy Spirit has to be involved. I'm just saying. And so, inviting you to that. We are going to pray. We don't know exactly where we're going to be praying on the campus because of they don't know where the schedule is going to be and all that kind of stuff. So just show up here and we'll have somebody at the gate telling you where we're going to be at. That's at 6:30, right? 6:30 for an hour. And we're going to pray direct. No music, no worship. We're just going to worship God with our prayers, and we're going to listen, and we're going to just see what the Holy Spirit does with that. But this is how I want you to intentionally pray right now around your table. You don't need to ask for prayer requests right now. You're just going to pray for the person to your right. And you're going to pray whatever. We're going to go for like a minute of just quiet. You're just going to ask yourself and open yourself up to listen. Just like in the blessed strategy, listen to what the Spirit is telling you for that person to your right. And then I will finish us with a prayer after we go through that. And I'll watch the room a little bit. Go ahead. And then I'll cue you after the silent time. Dearly Father, we thank you that you hear our prayers. And Lord, I ask that you change our culture. You change who we are. Lord, burn in our hearts and our minds and everything that we do to see how we can intentionally bless others around us and lead them so they can be disciples of you. Lord, help us be courageous and bold and full of your Spirit so that we may step into conversations that you are prompting us to go into, those go-go moments. Lord, and I also pray for protection. Lord, you give us a spirit that tells us no when we shouldn't be doing things that we shouldn't, or angels' guidance. Lord, I also pray for that. I pray protection. As we push back darkness, sometimes there's a stumble that happens. And Lord, that's what I pray, that you protect our families, you protect our relationships, and Lord, as you protect us as a church and an organization, Lord, that we want to make an impact in Midtown Tucson. Lord, you've already given us favor to do that, and Lord, continue to build in us and draw us closer to you so that we can step firmly and confidently knowing that you have appointments for us every single day to share your love and your blessings with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer on Wednesday. I would love to see you guys there too. everything on the documents, the sheets that are on there are on the app. Read through them. Those who like to read and think through things and all that kind of stuff, we need feedback. This isn't just because it's written down doesn't mean it's in stone. We need ideas and all kinds of things. So please, that's an invite and a challenge all in the same time. So yes, if you have kids, go get them and then bring them back down here if you need to talk to anybody, but go get your children first. Cool.